Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, June the 11th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, villagers in a part of Medway fear the area won't be able to cope if hundreds of homes are built there. There's anger as Eurostar announces planned new routes from London to Europe. And we look at whether honesty boxes are the way to go for local businesses. But first today, you're going to have to pay more to have your garden waste collected in Kent. 12 local authorities in the county have decided to increase the charge by an average of £3.99. Well, reporter Joe Harbert has been looking into the prices across the county and joins me now. Joe, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. So can you talk us through some of the charges? Who'll be paying more and where has the biggest increase been?
Hi, Nick. So, yeah, in a nutshell, everyone is going to be paying more. We have 12 districts in Kent with places like Ashford, Canterbury and Dover sort of thing. Residents in all of these are going to see the price of their, or are seeing already, the price of their garden waste increase again. And that's for the standard brown bin you put out in front of your garden every fortnight. As many of our listeners will know, it's the optional and annual service you pay for on a 12-month rolling sort of subscription. So it's not obviously included in your council tax bill like your recycling and household waste is. But it all basically means, you know, that people across Kent will be paying more now. In terms of who will be sort of charged the most, well, that really depends on if you pay for garden waste already. If you do, then it's people in Thanet who will now be charged £70, which is the most. While in Dartford, you have to pay the lowest fee of £51 for the subscription side of things. But others who actually don't currently pay for a brown bin or don't have one, they're actually going to have to pay even more than that. It's because six councils in it's Canterbury, Dartford, Dover, Maidstone, Thanet and Folkestone and Hythe. Well, they also charge people for both the collection and buying a new bin itself. Those in Canterbury are charged the most for a bin at just over £71, and that's on top of the almost £59 they pay for the subscription now itself. So people in Canterbury, you know, they're going to have to fork out almost £130 in this situation, which is, obviously quite a lot of money. And in the, you know, current climate we're all living in, it's quite a lot of money.
And just remind us, Joe, who fixes these prices and why are they different across the county?
Yeah, it's these local councils which fix the prices rather than, of course, the government or Kent County Council. Why they're different is really for a number of reasons, such as, you know, how much debt and inflation a council has on its books. It can also be affected by how much they sort of pay the contractor who removes the waste from people's homes. You know, that's sort of more of a factor, you know, in rural places where they need more fuel sort of thing. It's probably not surprising in that case that Tunbridge and Moulin, which is, you know, a reasonably rural area, has seen the biggest price jump from £53 to £63. There isn't really one sole reason, if you like, why the prices are the way they are. The range, if you like, in terms of that £51 in Dartford and £70 in Thanet, it isn't too big. So it's more a case of a council's overall sort of financial situation and what it may need to prioritise during the year as to why they set the garden waste prices the way they are and why they vary.
And what's the reaction been from residents?
Unsurprisingly, it hasn't gone down well at all with most of the people we've spoken to. And that's people not just in one place, of course, but, you know, across the likes of Ashford, Swale, Thanet. The main reason for this has come down to affordability, really. Everyone knows we're in a cost of living crisis, of prices constantly going up. And actually, for many people, of course, that includes council tax, which, you know, people have told me they don't understand why, you know, garden waste collections aren't included as part of that bill every month. People are also prepared to sort of go to the tip a lot more now, especially if they live close by to one, to dispose of their waste there, which they can do whenever, really. It's important to remember, too, that, you know, garden waste is only collected every fortnight, which, especially if you have a big garden, during the summer, it isn't enough for a lot of people. You know, and of course, at Christmas, there's a period of a few extra weeks where, you know, many councils don't collect garden waste at all. So it's very much down to affordability and people not feeling as though they're receiving value for money, really.
But there is still one part of Kent where the service is free.
Yeah, there is indeed. So Medway Council is the only local authority which charges people nothing, actually, to use the service. That's for both the subscription and wanting to have a new bin. But last month it announced it's actually now charging people who want extra garden waste collected. And that came into effect on, it was June the 2nd, so last week. So that means residents there will have to pay a subscription if they have more than one brown bin, or I think it's two reusable brown sacks of garden waste collected now as well. But of course, that's a lot of money being saved regardless if you don't want those on top compared to elsewhere in the county, like we've spoken about.
Joe, thank you ever so much. You can see a breakdown of the figures for where you live within the story at Kent Online. Whilst you're on the site, you can let us know what you think by leaving a comment, or you can have a say on our socials.
Kent Online News.
Police searching for a missing man in Canterbury have found a body. 26-year-old Dylan Bayliss disappeared nearly 4 weeks ago. Discovery was made near Whitehall Road yesterday afternoon. His family's been told and the death's not being treated as suspicious. A man's gone on trial accused of murdering his baby daughter in Ramsgate. Everly Stroud was just 5 weeks old when she suffered catastrophic injuries after allegedly being shaken by her dad in 2021. She died in hospital 13 months later. 24-year-old Thomas Holford from Peddlers Close in Danbury in Essex has admitted manslaughter but denies murder. And ABH. A car being driven by a 16-year-old has been seized after police discovered he was using a fake licence. He was stopped as part of an operation targeting illegal food couriers in Thanet on Friday night. A total of 11 people were reported for traffic offences and 3 cars were taken off the road. Now, people living in part of Medway have told us they fear their village won't be able to cope with 350 new homes. A consultation is underway right now into the idea of building on land at All Hallows on the Hoo Peninsula. Residents are being asked what they think of developing a site off Stoke Road and Binney Road. Councillor Chris Spalding has been speaking to Finn from our colleagues at KMTV.
It's one road in, one road out. That is not ideal. You only need one accident somewhere along the line and the whole thing is gridlocked. Throw in the fact that at the moment all our schools are oversubscribed. The bus service is patchy at best, non-existent at worst. And you can't get a GP doctor appointment for love nor money out here. But sadly, these are government issues, national issues, which are not being addressed by the Labour government at the moment. They need to be, and I will be talking to our local MP on that. But, unfortunately, planning falls to a local level.
I see. And if this consultation happens and, you know, however long it takes, this ends up going through, what will be the impact on the local person here? How will it affect them?
Effectively, it could be potentially devastating. All Hallows is also home to the Haven Kent Coast Holiday Park. Now, during the summer, the population of All Hallows swells by some 8,000 to 10,000 people who come down to enjoy this beautiful part of the world. The traffic on a Friday or a Sunday night is horrendous sometimes. We've already had queues of people trying to get into the park backing right up out of the village. It's completely unacceptable.
So what's the next step for you and for the council?
I would urge all residents, not just in All Hallows but on the peninsula, to respond positively to the consultation. And when I say positively, I mean don't just turn around and say no, we don't want it, that's a given. Tell them about their ideas, whether you think their ideas are good, they're not. Tell them what you want. Let's make it a little bit more difficult for them. If no one responds, they'll just put in an application that's got the best chance of going through. If you put in things that you want to see, like the place doesn't have a pub at the moment. A pub that does food would be brilliant. You know, we have a pop-up nursery in the village hall. How about a customised nursery? What are they going to do to try and alleviate things like lack of GP? All these things need to go into the consultation so that when the application comes in, which will be an outline application, the planning committee has enough scope to consider it in detail.
Now, Catesby Estates is drawing up the proposals, which they say also include community allotments, sports pitches and a memorial garden. But people living in the village have been telling us what they think.
I love it. It's my home. And the thought of another 350 houses at the back bottom of my garden really frightens me, if you like, because we don't know who will be coming. We don't know the effect it will have on the village. It's going to upset the whole balance of the wildlife here, because houses will bring in dogs and cats, and we've got such a diverse population of birds, and in the field where I keep my horses, there's lizards, slow worms, grass snakes, all of the butterflies and the insects, and we have marsh harriers, kites, buzzards. It's a wonderful place to live, and I don't think we can sustain that many extra people.
We don't need houses here. I moved from London. I'm like an outsider that's moved here. I came here because of it being quiet, because of the nature reserves and because of the peace and quiet of it all. I had a really like busy mental job. To move out here was a way to unwind after a really busy hard work day. The reaction straight away is the roads can't cope. We haven't got the infrastructure. We have a bus every 2 hours. We don't have a doctor's surgery. We have a small tiny school because they close the other school. So you haven't got anything here for the extra homes. So you're going to be putting people here. They're going to be needing a car. So that's another 700 cars on a road that isn't maintained. So the traffic is going to be an absolute nightmare.
It's just not going to work. We have just over 600 addresses in the village. So that's however many cars already. The road that they're proposing to build these houses on, that's 350 houses, probably two cars each, that's 700, plus all the construction traffic that's going down a lane that is 1.5 cars wide. And in order to get to that, they will be coming down the Ratcliffe Highway, which is the one and only road into our village, which is also used by the 10 to 12,000 cars we have for the tourists who use Haven pretty much all year round.
You've got until Sunday to take part in that consultation.
Kent Online reports.
Eurostar has been accused of shirking its moral responsibility to Kent after announcing more investment in other routes. £1.7 billion is going to be spent on new trains from London to Frankfurt and Geneva. That's despite the company still not resuming services at Ashford and Ebbsfleet stations. Well, I've been chatting to Tudor Price, who's the chief exec of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce, which is part of a big campaign urging Eurostar to stop in the county again.
Positively seething. I'll be honest with you, absolutely seething. It is without doubt the most blatant example of monopolistic behaviour I've seen in a very long time. Eurostar know very well that they have a moral obligation to be stopping back in Kent. A huge amount of the economy and the consumer spend has been built around these international stations at Ebbsfleet and at Ashford. And they are sitting there like white elephants doing absolutely nothing. And we understood the economic situation that Eurostar faced post-pandemic, and we were very patient and we were very understanding, and we sort of worked with them to try and sort of, you know, encourage things to sort of come back to normal. And now, essentially, we're being fobbed off. Now, the problem we have, of course, is that there are potential future operators looking to come into the market, and the government is encouraging that. And we know there's numerous incentive schemes being put in place to try and support those potential operators stopping back in Kent. But what that's done, of course, has meant that the Eurostar team have decided actually they can probably now hang out until the bitter end and maximise their profits. So it's an appalling state of affairs. And I think, you know, pressure must be brought to bear on the board at Eurostar by the government to make sure that they fulfil those moral obligations they made to us many years ago.
So do you think we're going to get to the point then where they don't return, because they're hearing that other train, they'll just say, oh, well, they could pick up those services then. We don't need to come back to Kent. Is that the situation we've ended up in?
Oh, I think so, yes. I think there's a very, very serious risk of that being the case. I think what we've heard from Eurostar so far is you know, we'll look at it later in the future. You know, it is not quite sort of worth the effort that this required. They're now sort of making noises about Temple Mills, which is where they'll be storing the trains. And of course, potential competitors might want to use that space. And they're saying, oh, well, we're not sure there's room. So you can see the behavior and the patterns that are starting to emerge here from the team at Eurostar. And I think we need to be, we and the government need to be a lot more robust and direct in sort of giving Eurostar a very clear message that they need to be doing something and not waiting for this potential competition coming in.
Ashford MP Sojan Joseph has also expressed his disappointment. We have been in touch with Eurostar, but haven't had a statement from them just yet. Elsewhere, it's been revealed Operation Brock on the M20 cost taxpayers £250,000 each time it's put in place. Figures also show maintenance of the contraflow system adds an extra £100,000 per week. It's led to calls for it to be scrapped in favour of a more cost-effective solution. The County Council insist it's the only way to keep traffic moving if there are delays to cross-channel services. Pictures have been unveiled of new green bridges that are due to be built as part of the Lower Thames Crossing. The idea is to make the road more nature-friendly by blending it into the landscape. Highways bosses say low-carbon materials will also be used for footbridges and gantries. The tunnel will eventually link the A2 near Gravesend with Essex. And the Dartford MP is urging the newly appointed roads boss at the County Council to take urgent action on local buses. Jim Dixon's described the service as an appalling postcode lottery and says he'll be raising the issue with council leaders and other Kent MPs in Parliament this week. It comes as the new bus services bill gives local authorities more power over operators.
Kent Online reports.
A Chatham woman says she's been forced to use her neighbour's downstairs toilet because a stair lift still hasn't been installed at her home. Heather Hughes has a number of health issues, which means she struggles to get up and downstairs. The 66-year-old was told by the council she could have the equipment fitted in 2023, but work hasn't been carried out yet. Well, the authority have apologised for the delay and say they're working to complete the installation. Investigations are underway after a pride flag was stolen from Swanscombe Park. It's the second year in a row it's happened, with local bosses saying the thieves also caused damage to the flagpole. A replacement has been ordered and it's hoped it'll be able to fly for the remainder of Pride Month. Now, Reform UK have suspended one of their county councillors in Kent, sparking calls for a by-election. Daniel Taylor, who represents the Cliftonville ward in Thanet, is now sitting as an independent. It's unclear exactly why the decision was made just weeks after the local elections. Well, Mark Hood is a Green councillor in Tunbridge Wells. He's been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
We're concerned. We don't know any of the details, but what we are really worried about is the constituents of Cliftonville being saddled with somebody who they voted for them on the basis that they were a Reform candidate. And we know that a lot of people will have voted for Reform candidates. They don't really know anything about them. They haven't really got a profile. The candidates here, for instance, they didn't have any background of working in the community, but people were so angry that they would have voted for a donkey if it had a teal rosette. So there's a real problem here that you could have a community there that have got a representative that they didn't really want in place, and I think a by-election would probably be appropriate if he isn't readmitted. But obviously we haven't got any idea of what the circumstances are here, but it's problematic
because obviously we have heard that Reform have been in touch with the group leaders saying that there's sensitivities around this situation. Do you think it's too early to really judge whether there should be a by-election or not?
Normally, I'd agree. I think we're flagging it up now because we're aware that these things can drag on, and we don't want a situation where a community is left without proper representation. And if this particular member decides that he doesn't really fancy it because he's not going to be able to sit with his previous Reform colleagues, and he's disinterested, I think the best thing would be for him to let people decide what to do, who they want to represent them in future. But yeah, we'll by all means, we're happy to wait and see what happens with this one. But as a general rule, we think because there's so much of the term yet to serve, that people should have the opportunity, if required, to reselect.
Kent Online News.
Pictures at Kent Online today show a new Aldi in Ashford taking shape. When it's finished, around 50 staff are expected to be employed at the store at Waterbrook Park, which is in the Sevington part of town. It was originally due to open this summer, but that's now been put back to the autumn. Detailed designs for a new development on a former quarry site in Medway have been given the go-ahead. 180 homes are going to be built near Frinsbury Hill. Meantime, neighbours have raised concerns about plans for a 68-room house of multiple occupation in Broadstairs. Developers want to convert the former uni building at Northwood Court. And bosses at a recycling company near Sittingbourne fear future residents could complain about their business if plans to build homes nearby are approved. Sweep Kusakosi on Gas Road is near the proposed Lloyd's Wharf development scheme. They've been there since 2007 and can operate at all times except Sundays, but fear new people moving in would be unhappy with the noise. The council's due to decide on the scheme next month.
Kent Online reports.
The family of a little boy from Deal with a rare genetic condition have welcomed news today that further research is being carried out into a potential treatment. 9-year-old Digby Donnelly was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy when he was just 2. Experts are now looking at whether combining existing drugs with genetic therapies could boost the production of a vital protein lacking in children with DMD. Digby's mum says it brings them hope. Next today, we're featuring a story by our reporter Alex Langridge, who's noticed a bit of a trend on socials for local businesses to adopt honesty boxes. The idea certainly isn't new, but seems to have evolved in recent times. Actually, there was quite a boost in popularity of it during COVID when shopping became a bit more tricky. Question is, can everyone be trusted? Well, Alex has been along to Crockenhill, where Catherine Hancock has opened Olive's Cake Shed.
I already have Olive and Mac Cake Design, which is a luxury cake business for weddings and occasion cakes. But I wanted to bring something that was more for the community, that everyone could access. And I love a home-baked cake. And then, yeah, the idea just popped up. I think I came across it on Facebook. And it's also been around for years when, you know, people are selling eggs at the end of their driveway in the countryside. And I thought, actually, I think that might work for me, and I could do something like that.
And how's it been going? I know you're kind of on your fourth weekend now. Has it been well received by the community?
Yeah, I'm really pleased with how everyone's supported me and Olive's Cake Shed, and they've really taken to it as a community. It's been brilliant. I'm only in my fourth week. It's early days, but so far it's been going really well.
And obviously you're using a kind of honesty box system, as you say, it's been around for a while. Are you finding that that's working? Kind of how's that going?
Yeah, it was a, you know, obviously it's a new system for me, and I think people are unsure how things worked. But there's instructions on the door, and there's a QR code people can use so they can pay online. Also I supply envelopes and they can pop the cash in there and put it through my letterbox with a calculator as well. So things are... they can add things up themselves. I think that's been going really well. It gives just people the choice. They can pop along when they want, pick up a cake, and and it's great. And I think most people are really honest, and that's what I'm going with. We're a small community, a lovely village, and yeah, it's been going well.
And you can read Alex's feature and let us know what you think by heading to Kent Online. A light show exploring our journey through history is going to come to Rochester Cathedral later this year. Time will be quite similar to the previous events run by Lux Morales, with a focus on the discovery of science. It's on for 5 days from September the 30th. And the historic dockyard in Chatham is launching a new film location tour this summer. Visitors will be able to walk in the footsteps of cast and crew, explore off-limit areas and hear stories from guides who have supported filming on site. Over the years, the dockyard has been used to film scenes in Call the Midwife, Bridgerton, Les Miserables and Loki.
Kent Online Sport.
Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is back in doubles action at Queen's later. She's teaming up with Brit number one Katie Balter for the quarterfinals. And in football, former Chatham Town captain Jack Evans has joined Billericay. The 32-year-old midfielder made almost 200 appearances for the Chats and scored 100 goals. He was a pro at Gillingham and has also featured for Sutton United, Eastbourne, Maidstone United and Folkestone. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get the details and the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.